Marvin Lewis, Jr. Well, this Good Friday turns out somehow to be the occasion of a world concentration of demand for an end to nuclear weapons tests, and it is just too far-flung and too extensive and too simultaneous to believe that it is spontaneous and accidental. Some of it may have been generated by the Russian announcement that they are stopping such tests on their own responsibility, regardless of what the rest of the world wants to do. India's Prime Minister Nehru said he welcomes this decision, no matter what conditions and qualifications the Russians may place upon it. Japanese Prime Minister Kishi said it is a hopeful sign, no matter what the Russian motives may be. In Washington, a weird legal action was attempted, in which an odd collection of scientists, politicians, churchmen, and others filed suit against the Secretary of Defense and five members of the Atomic Energy Commission, claiming that the Atomic Energy Act is unconstitutional and demanding that the test, therefore, be stopped in this country. Among the lot was Dr. Linus Pauling, left-wing professor at California Tech, Norman Thomas, the longtime leader of the Socialist Party, and Bertrand Russell, the British philosopher. From a legal standpoint, it seems likely that this is more of a publicity stunt than it is a legitimate law action, legal action, and Justice Department sources said they doubt that it will ever be recognized by the courts. They admitted, however, that it does have its publicity value in support of the Russians, to the advantage of the Russians. Secretary of State Dulles says that the Russian announcement was a phony gimmick and accused Khrushchev of trying to make the world believe falsely that the United States is unwilling to cooperate in world peace. Here in New York City, the most peculiar of all the demonstrations is underway, with some 500 individuals with printed placards having converged on the city on foot, if you please, from as far away as 100 miles from the surrounding areas of Pennsylvania, New York, New Jersey, and Connecticut on what they call a walk for peace. Most of them arrived here last night. Today moved en masse on the United Nations building. Similarly, in England, a group of about 1,000 people began a four-day pilgrimage to Aldermaston, which is the center of Britain's Atomic Energy Research Center, also to demonstrate in favor of nuclear disarmament. In Budapest, Khrushchev himself challenged the Western world to follow Russia's example in regard to the atom testing, and this was given great play by the communist press and radio the world around. There is a ghoulish note about the timing of this new communist offensive in that it should have its beginning on Good Friday. For atheistic communism to seize on such an occasion as this is almost a direct affront to Christianity, but the communists, of course, don't care about that. Secretary of State Dulles today turned down a request by Los Angeles attorney A.L. Wirin to negotiate an international judicial agreement with Red China to enable him to take some depositions of witnesses in that country in connection with a case that he is defending. There's quite a story behind this. Mr. Wirin seems to lean to clients who are suspect of communist tendencies, and thus it was not surprising that he turned up as defense counsel for one John W. Powell and his wife Sylvia Powell and an associate of theirs by the name of Julian Schumann. These three individuals edited and published the China Monthly Review during the Korean War, and in their publication they printed a continuous stream of seditious material charging the United States with a massive array of war crimes, including the resort to germ warfare. They were indicted under federal statutes in California, and theirs is the case at hand. Mr. Wirin's approach in the defense is to try to prove the truth of the charges that they made, and to this end, he asked the State Department to issue him a visa to go to Red China in an effort to gather testimony and evidence. Federal Judge Louis E. Goodman issued an order stating that unless the visa was issued to Mr. Wirin by the State Department within 30 days, the judge would dismiss the case against the three defendants. Attorney General William Rogers in Washington quietly got to Secretary of State Dulles and prevailed on him to issue the visa rather than let the case go down the drain. And the result was that Attorney Wirin spent 7 weeks touring Red China and interviewing people, all, if you please, at the expense of the United States government. The judge held that Mr. Wirin was a representative of the court and thus was entitled to $12 a day living expenses plus 7 cents a mile travel allowances, even in Red China. He returned with a newly grown large bushy beard and claims of endless witnesses in support of his clients and massive documentation to prove their charges. This, however, is no good unless he can bring back depositions, that is, sworn statements by the witnesses that will be acceptable in all American courts. The Chinese Communist government says it will permit this only under a formal judicial agreement between it and the government of the United States, which, of course, is an attempt to get a foot in the door of diplomatic recognition of Red China by us. The court, meanwhile, expressed the opinion that the United States government has already done all it's called upon to do in behalf of Mr. Wirin's clients, and thus came the State Department decision today turning down the judicial agreement idea. Even so, Mr. Wirin has managed to embarrass his country considerably and to serve the cause of communism in world public opinion. As it is, the red propagandists can say that imperialistic America will not give its citizens a fair trial and refuses to take the necessary and proper steps to get the full truth. They already have begun a tattoo of charges that the State Department has taken the stand. It has, because the germ warfare stories are true, and it is afraid to have the facts told to the world. But what could the Department of State do? To have agreed to negotiate the judicial agreement would have involved us in long, drawn-out meetings and conferences and would, by implication, have recognized the Red Chinese courts as being immoral and on a moral and legal par with our own. Incidentally, speaking of legal matters, on going over my broadcast of last night, I may have been ambiguous when I was talking about the trial of Paul Hughes, the fake investigator for the McCarthy Committee, who sold phony documents to Roosevelt.